So we want to take a new look at an old story, the story of Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah of the Haggadah of Pesach fame, where he says, "Hare ani kiven shivin shana," it's as if I was 70 years. I mean, why does he say it's as if he was 70 years? As if it was like, because his birth certificate said that he was 18. According to the Talmud Yerushalmi, his birth certificate actually said he was 16. But it's as if he was 70. And why is it as if he was 70?
The old story was he's going to be taking over the Sanhedrin.
The same as Sanhedrin, and miraculously his hair is going to turn white. So this is a story people talk about come Pesach time. We're going to see, we're going to go back to the original story and I think unpack how it really has a lot more to do in many ways with the time of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We're going to see some major fundamental tshuva lessons which emerge from the whole story. Okay, so we're just going to go through the story in the Gemara, and we're going to just make the notes as we go. As we go through the story, we're going to see some themes that are going to come up again and again. We're also going to have some interesting questions to answer. The background, so where we're going to pick up in the story, the Gemara begins on the previous Amud, Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, 27b. And there the Gemara said that there was a debate. The story is in Maseches Brachos. The fourth chapter of Maseches Brachos is all about the laws of prayer. So there's a debate there about the obligation to daven Maariv. Shacharis is certainly an obligatory prayer. Mincha is an obligatory prayer. But Maariv was a debate in the Mishnah. One view was that Maariv was obligatory. Tfilas Arvis Chova. It's something we must do. The other position was Tfilas Arvis Rishus. Maariv was optional. One is not required to daven Maariv. Gemara says that this was particularly a debate between Rabban Gamliel, who is the Nasi of the Sanhedrin at the time, and Rabbi Yehoshua, who Rabbi Yehoshua may not be the technical political head of the Sanhedrin, but in terms of Torah expertise, Rabbi Yehoshua really is the Gadol Hador. When Tisha B'Av season, we talk about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who has to be smuggled out of Yerushalayim because the zealots are causing civil war. So the Gemara talks about his two students who smuggle his coffin as he fakes his death to smuggle him out of Yerushalayim. And the Gemara says those two students were Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanis and Rabbi Yehoshua. So Rabbi Yehoshua is really the Gadol Hador, the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. So you have the Nasi, a tremendous Talmid Chacham in his own right, who has the political power, the descendant of the Davidic dynasty, versus Rabbi Yehoshua, who doesn't have the political power, but is the Gadol Hador. Rabbi Yehoshua thinks that it is, I believe, optional. Rabbi Gamliel believes that it is mandatory. Rabbi Gamliel thinks that Maariv is required. Big machlokas. And then what we're going to pick up on is Rabbi Gamliel insults Rabbi Yehoshua. The other Chachamim say this is enough. We already had this happen once in a different Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, where they had a fight over what the Rosh Chodesh exactly should be, and Rabbi Gamliel made Rabbi Yehoshua come to visit him on the day that, according to Rabbi Yehoshua's calculation, was Yom Kippur. So he showed up, Rabbi Yehoshua, one time. He made him walk with his walking stick and his money bag on the day he thought was Yom Kippur. Enough is enough. He's insulting Rabbi Yehoshua again, the Gadol Hador. We're not going to put up with any more of this. Rabbi Gamliel is going to be fired. The board intervenes, and they say, "We want a new Nasi." Who can they go to? The candidates were surprisingly limited to have somebody of the proper lineage and the proper Torah expertise and the proper leadership talents. So ultimately, they decide they have to go to Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, who only has one major drawback on his resume, which is he's far too young. As you said, he's either 16 or he's 18 years old. So they go to him anyway. They're not dissuaded. And the Gemara, right before we pick up, the Gemara says that Eliezer ben Azariah did something very wise. Before he says yes or no, he goes and he asks the wisest, his best source of advice, which is, who does he ask? Can you guess?
He asks his wife.
Yeah, I always ask, he has to ask his wife. So she's very nervous with this, right? She's seeing all the reasons to say no. So first, she says, "Look, you might be fired." It's reasonable. They got rid of the last guy, so you're going to come in. You think that you're better than Rabban Gamliel? Like, what kind of ego is that? They didn't like the last guy. He was thrown out. It's very embarrassing. They like you today. They don't like you tomorrow. Don't get involved in this. And keep things, let's keep our life simple. Okay. So now let's pick up in the Gemara. So it begins over here. That's what she said, the top line, where she said, look, they might fire you. Dilma ma'avrin lach. I see the top line got cut off of the art scroll. So let's get to the second line. So he says to her, so a person should use a precious glass cup one day, and the next day let it break. Important life perspective. You can't worry too much about the future. Live in the present. They want me to be the nasi today. Okay, today we're going to enjoy the opportunity. What comes tomorrow comes tomorrow. If you live life always worrying about the downsides of the future, you'll never have the opportunity to enjoy the present. That's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says to her. Okay, now she's not done. She says, "Amrelei leislach chiyurta." You don't have any white. You have no white hairs in the beard, right? You're all handsome and black. I don't have a beard at all, but his was nice and black. Okay, fine. So what happened? Hahu yuma bar tamni sari shani hava. All right, so he was 18. Israchish le nisa. A miracle occurred. Vahadrule tamni sare dari chayurta. 18 rows of white grow into his beard. Now we can speculate why 18 rows of white. Because Ochai, but his current age is 18, right? So he's the white is to reflect his current age, but he's okay, fine. His hair is white. All right. Gemara says now according to this. This is Elazar ben Azariah says, "Harayani kivin shivim shana." As we know, I'm 70 years old. Velo ben shivim shana. He doesn't say I am 70 years old because he was prematurely aged, you know, and he can blame the rabbits in for that. Okay, so now we are going to have to start asking a couple of questions. So one, there's an interesting idea over here. I forget who one of the mafarshim I didn't put down notes about this. Rabbi Nazaria's wife had two objections to his leadership. Right, the first was, if you're hired today, you'll be fired tomorrow. So Rabbi Nazaria said, I can't worry about tomorrow. I might as well live for today. So why does she resist again by saying, you don't have any white hair? They're offering him the job. So, but Mufarshim explains, she's telling him, look, just because they give you the job offer doesn't mean they're actually going to listen to you, right? It's one thing to have the technical position. We've all seen cases like this where somebody is so, you know, enamored with the position they think they have, but no one actually listens to what they have to say. You know, you have that that person. So you may be the nasi, but you're not going to be effective. You don't want to be in it for the position, to have it on the masthead, to sit on the seat of the... You want to actually make a difference in the world. And if they fire me tomorrow, whatever. But they're not going to listen to you. You're an 18-year-old kid. So you're not even going to get today. That's what the Mefarshim explained, and that's why his beard had to turn white. Not so that he could get the job, but so he could actually be effective in the job.
It could also be that she was anticipating the stress of being the head. And that's why she pointed out you don't have a white beard because it's going to
turn. That's going to age you. But why does it? But then why did he miraculously turn white haired? Get it over with.
Hashem wanted to show that he would be able to do it.
Yes,
he'd be up to the.
So that's why I think it's now the. Kind of depressing thing here, and this is what we're going to see really in the whole story, is the importance of that people attach to appearances. He has all the talent, all the skill, all the wisdom to do the job, but his wife is telling him they're not going to listen to you just because they are going to judge you by the way you look. And we live in the real world, so you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu recognizes that, and we're going to make it so that they'll listen. But the story begins already with just this unfortunate reality of how people judge others by appearances.
Question,
yeah.
It's not like they don't know who he is. Fine, he has white hair. They still know he's an 18-year-old kid. How's that going to change how they look at him? You know.
Because that's psychologically, that's how deeply ingrained it is, right? If you see the gray hair, I can intellectually know that this is the Gadol Hador, But it looks like he could be my great nephew from soccer practice. I can't take him seriously. I can't. Right? So it's just helping them get over that psychological barrier. This is going to be a whole theme in the Gemara. The challenge of how we deal with appearances and what are the differences between appearances and reality. It's already beginning over here. Okay. So now the Gemara tells us something very, very important. We talked a little bit about this in the drasha this past Shabbos. Tana. Ha'oso hayom sakluhu l'shomer ha'pesach. They got rid of the guard who was at the door. V'nasna lehem reshus l'talmidim likanes. And they gave permission to all of the students to enter. Why was there a guard blocking the door? I thought we want to have students in the Beis Medrash. Shahaya Rabban Gamliel Machriz. Rabban Gamliel had made a public declaration. V'omer kol talmid shein tocho kibaro lo yikanes l'beis medrash. Any student who's inside does not match his outside is not allowed into the Beis Medrash. Rabban Gamliel only insisted upon people who were genuine to be there. There's the phrase tocho kibaro, which then becomes a phrase subsequently. It comes from here. Anybody who on the outside, a long tzitzis and a long frock coat and a long beard, but on the inside there's no Yiras Shamayim. Rabban Gamliel does not want them in his Beis Medrash. Okay, so for those...
How do you check for that?
Say it again.
How do you check for that?
How do you check for that? Ms. Benderson, that's exactly the question I wanted to raise. How could the guard tell? They look very genuine. So I haven't seen anybody ask this, but I had the same question, and I think there's a very depressing but very important answer to this question. How do the guard turn people away? I think it was very simple.
When you say outside meaning appearances, does outside have to be necessarily appearances or just the way you act? In other words, everybody thinks you're a great sided in the outside, but inside.
But again, but how can the guard tell? How can the guard tell? What, does he have spiritual X-ray vision? That's the whole point, is that people are outwardly deceptive.
Just by the fact that there's a guard there, it would intimidate people who weren't genuine. Show up, and maybe the witness would know that, you know, he can't tell, but just the fact that there's someone there makes you think twice if you're not really that person.
Yeah, so very good. I want to run with that, and I just want to build up with one other question, and then want to run with this answer. So the question was, how can the guard tell? Second question is I don't know, if we were going to take over yeshiva, does Rabban Gamliel's policy of banning phonies sound like a good policy?
You can't tell a phony, so how can you do that?
Does anybody want to allow phonies into their yeshiva?
How can you tell if they're phonies?
Oh, let's assume you could tell. Somehow we're going to tell.
Maybe you could do care of them.
Maybe. But maybe not. Is it, I don't know, it doesn't seem to me like Rabban Gamliel's policy was crazy at all. You know, if someone is total, is he's using the Torah like a spade to dig, right? He's going to go to the Beis Medrash. He has all the honor of being a Torah scholar, but really on the inside, he doesn't care at all. How many scandals have to happen? We don't want people who look one way and behave another learning Torah. It's a disaster. It seems like a very sound policy. So why was it incorrect? The first thing, right? Lezben Azari, he takes over, and day one, his like first thing he does, you know, the 100 days, first thing he does is get rid of that guard. It seems like the guard was doing good things.
So it was about to be subject to the same discrimination.
Ah, very good. So get to that also. Excellent. So talking about the drasha, that Lezben Azari is subject to the same discrimination. Okay, fine. We'll talk about that. But I think, how did the guard dissuade people? I think it was very simple. Person comes into the Beis Medrash, it's a small doorway, and he wants to go study, and there's a guard, you know, scary looking fellow, he's 6'5", big beard, I picture like Mayor Tversky from YU, real piercing eyes, and he quietly looks you in the eyes, and he stares, and he just says, "Are you Tocho Kibaro? Are you?" They tell you it's rude to point. "Are you genuine?" And then he just stares into your soul. And you start to sweat.
That's intimidating.
If you're a socially normal person, if you're not one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddik, and someone says, "Are you really the same on the inside as you are on the outside?" I'm going to run screaming. Okay, I can't live to that level of scrutiny. A normal, regular person is not fully tocho kabara. If we were hooked up to a lie detector and they said, are you fully the same on the inside? I would fail. Okay?
Everyone would.
Okay, a couple of these rare exceptions. Either the sociopaths or the lamed vav tzadikim would pass. Regular person is not going to pass that test. So who's turning them away from the door? It's not actually the guard who's turning them away. They're turning away themselves. I think that's the pshat in the Gemara. They're turning away themselves. If you have this high level, and it's such a, right? We're going to talk about judging. One point was judging others by their own appearances. We judge ourselves. We sell ourselves short. We turn ourselves away. The reason why nobody was in the Beis Medrash was because they all felt like they weren't up to it. And then as soon as Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah comes in, let's look a little bit more of the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Hahu yoma itosfu kama safsali." So many benches were added to the Beis Medrash. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, "Pligi ba Abba Yosef ben Dostoyev Rabbanan." There's a machlokas. How many benches were added? Chad amar itosfu arba mea safsali. One says 400 benches. Vechad amar shevem mea safsali. 700 benches. So it's an immense opening to the access of Torah. Okay. So that's major point, right? Point one is people's appearances. Those are Nazariah, they're going to judge him even though he's capable. Point number two, we judge ourselves. Point number three, this we talked about in the drasha. Ben Yoyada asks the question, Tocho Kabaro, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah himself, is not Tocho Kabaro. Because on the outside, he looks like he's 70. On the inside, in reality, he's 18.
Does anybody say that if they accept all these people, the process of learning Torah itself could make them more Tocho Kabara?
So that's essentially the Ben Yoyada's answer. He says, what was the miracle behind Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah looking like he's 70, but in reality being 18? When we talk about someone being Tocho Kabara, do we look at them where they are right now, or do we look at their potential? You know, I don't remember who it was about, but somebody quoted that Rabbi Lamb from YU. It was like a very, very young rabbi. And they said, don't worry, youth is something that everyone's going to grow out of. Okay? He may be 18 today, but he has the potential. He's going to be 70, right? He's going to grow into that. Tocho Kabaro, if you look at somebody where they are, that's one level. But Rabbi Gamliel, he's only looking at the present time. And he's not looking at what the person could be. So, right? The guy who comes in, and maybe he's not at the level right now, he's going to learn, and he's going to grow, and what's going to happen, they're going to get to that point in time. Exactly. And that, says the Ben Yehoyada, was the message of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's miracle. So that's point number three. We talk about something, Tocho Kabaro. Not only should they not sell themselves short, maybe they are at that level, but don't forget, they can get there. They have the potential to grow. Rabbi Gamliel does not really see potential. Let's continue in the Gemara and see a few more insights. So the Gemara now says, "Hava kachashla daite de Rabban Gamliel." So Rabban Gamliel's mind was weakened. I mean, he was very disturbed. Why is he very disturbed?
Because his policy is not being followed.
Yeah, another policy. He sees the hundreds of people who are coming in. That's a good question. It seems like he's disturbed because hundreds of people are now learning Torah. Rashi explains, Hayadoik shaloi anesh b'meshaman ambi amav milavau. He's very concerned. All the Torah he held back. Can you imagine? He sees all the Torah being studied and he says, oh my gosh, my policy. I mean, the responsibility of leadership. What have I done? I held all these people back. You know, they turned themselves out the door because they thought they weren't at the level. But it turns out that they were. My policy was wrong. My policy was disastrously wrong. Can I imagine what the consequences of that are going to be? Gemara says something very, very interesting. What happens afterwards? Amar Dilma Chas V'Shalom Menati Torah Mi'Yisrael. God forbid, maybe I prevented Jews from learning Torah. One thing you can't say about Rabban Gamliel, you can't say that he indulges himself. He's harsh on others. He's harsh on himself as well. He doesn't hold back from self-criticism. Achzulei bechalme. So they showed him in a dream. He sees in a dream that night. Chatzvi chiyure demalion kmata. So he sees white vessels filled with dark ash. So what's the image? What's the message of a white vessel, pure and white on the outside, but filled with dark ash on the inside?
Inside doesn't match the outside.
Oh, sorry? The inside does not match the outside. So the comforting message to Rabban Gamliel was, don't worry, these people are actually not Tocho Kibaro. You were correct, they're all coming to the Beis Medrash, but they're not actually, their inside does not match their outside. Now, we should note, literally, this is the second time already in this story that we've seen the theme of black and white. Right? The first time we saw black and white was Elazar Nazari the beard. You know, he looks like the white hair makes him look older, but in reality he's black-haired. Second time, is it black or is it white? Hard to tell. You can't tell Rabbi Elazar Nazariah. The white beard conceals the youth. And here as well, the pure white vessel conceals the dark ash. Things don't always match their appearances. Now this gets a little bit meta, because the Gemara continues, Velohi. It was not actually the case. The people who came in actually were wonderful people. Hahi liyasuve daite hu da'achsule. And Rabbi Gamliel just had this vision in a dream to give him some comfort. What's done is done. He's not going to change the past. There's no point in having him beat himself up over it. The policy is not going to change anymore. So we made him feel okay. He's comforted min hashamayim. The Torah shows him, Hashem shows him something which isn't true just to make him feel better. So we all think we know what's happening. We all think we understand. We all think we can judge. And if you can't judge from a dream which is showed to you, it's one thing to look at Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and say, ah, this little kid, he can't be a Gadol Hador. That's one level of making a mistake from a vision. If you could actually get a dream from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he could show you the pure white vessel and the dark ash, and you could even make mistaken conclusions from that. We have to be so, so careful with the judgments and the conclusions that we make. Okay. The Gemara then continues. And the Gemara says, Tana Edios bo bayom nishnes. So the Mishnah says that the entire Masechta of Edios, and a whole entire Masechta in Shas, was taught that day. Masechta all about different Tanaim getting up and presenting different traditions that they had. Okay. V'kol heichad amrinan bo bayom hahu yom ahava. Whenever in Shas there is an anonymous reference to that day, if they say something was studied on that day, you know that that day was the day where the Beis Medrash was opened and everybody came in, or Elazar ben Azariah's first day on the job. Tremendous explosion of Torah. V'lo haisa halacha shahaisa tluya b'Beis HaMedrash shelo pirsha. There was no halacha which was left suspended, meaning left uncertain, that they couldn't explain. Okay. Now let's get to the next key part of the story, another tshuva insight from the Gemara. V'af Rabban Gamliel lo mana atzmo mi beis hamedrash afilu shah achas. Rabban Gamliel as well did not prevent himself from entering the beis hamedrash even for 1 hour. So let's pause and admire the integrity of Rabban Gamliel. He's been fired. He's been publicly humiliated. What's the most natural thing in the world to want to do?
Hide.
Yeah, take a long vacation, right? Go home. He's not going to see anybody. When he does, he might come back with a fake beard. But what does he do instead? There is no ego, right? There is absolutely no ego in Rabban Gamliel. He accepts it. I've been fired. They wanted somebody else. I'm going to move on. I'm not. Well, he said, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, don't worry about the present. Don't worry about the future. Live in the present. Rabban Gamliel, he's not going to live in the past. He's going to live in the present as well. He goes to learn Torah. He's there with everybody else. This not. And now there's a fascinating machlokas. And it's not a coincidence. We'll see what they argue about. Bo bayom ba Yehuda ger Ammoni lefneihem beveis hamedrash. This fellow named Yehuda, who's a ger Ammoni, he's an Ammonite convert. So he comes in front of the beis hamedrash. Amar lehem mani lalo bekahal. Am I allowed to marry into the congregation? Now, if you recall Megillas Rus, so what was the whole controversy with Rus marrying into the congregation?
Moabites were forbidden because they didn't give food to the Israelites.
Exactly. The Torah says that Moabites and their brothers, the Ammonites, are permanently banned, forever banned, from joining the congregation. Then we have the Drasha, Moavi v'la Moavi, Samoni v'la Amonis. It was the Moabite men, not the Moabite women, and therefore Boaz paskin that Rus could join into the community. Okay, so it should be game, set, and match. Yehuda, he's not an Ammonis, right? He's not an Ammonite woman, he's an Ammonite man. So
how's he
getting in here? Exactly, what's even the question? So naturally we have a Machlokas. Amar le Rav Gamliel, Aser ata lavo b'kahal. You are banned. You cannot enter the community. Amar le Rabbi Yeshua, Mutar ata lavo b'kahal. No, Rabbi Yeshua says you're allowed into the community. We can't help but wonder, is there some connection between this and the previous restrictionist policy that Rabban Gamliel had? Okay, turn the page. Let's look at some of the debate. Amar le Rabban Gamliel, v'alo kvar ne'amar. The Torah already said, lo yavo amoni umoavi b'kal Hashem, and amoni and umoavi cannot come in to the congregation. So there's nothing more to talk about. He was withholding the students from the Beis Medrash, and he's withholding this Ammonite from entering the community. Perfectly parallel. Amar le Rabbi Yeshua, v'chi Ammon u'Moav b'mkomen hin yoshvin. Are Ammon u'Moav still in their original locations? Kvar ala Sancheirev melech Ashur. Sancheirev, right, the enemy of Chizkiyo, the king of Ashur, he already invaded the whole Middle East. U'bilbel as kol ha'umos. And he mixed up all the nations. We know who knows nowadays.
How do we know that this guy's really?
Exactly. His last name may be Ammoni, but we really have no idea. We have no idea. Who knows? Just because he thinks he's an Ammoni, we really have no idea. Shneamar v'asir b'gvulo samim. Okay, talks about him crossing up all the borders. Now again, we have the same exact theme over here. Ramil thinks, you know, someone is who he is. And there's no potential, right? There's no potential for change. There's no potential for improvement. Tocho kaboru, and you're allowed in, or you're not. And Rabbi Yeshua is saying things can change. You know, yeah, the Ammonim were prohibited, but things have changed. And if anything, you know, this all—it's not like it's a tremendous tzaddik who caused the change to happen. I mean, this is coming from Sancheirev, right? Sometimes positive change. Not only can positive change occur, positive change can even come from the areas where you least expect it. It can come from Sancheirev Melech Ashur. Okay, another tshuva point. Now let's proceed a little bit. They have a whole machlokas over here about Ammon and Moav. Okay, skip down to Amar Rabban Gamliel Hol V'Hachi Hava. Where is that? The bottom left corner in the article, but footnote 19. So they had the debate. Rabbi Yeshua won. We see Rabban Gamliel has done tshuva, and he's no longer putting up a big fight, right? They pass on Rabbi Yeshua, move on. We allow the students into the Beis Medrash. We allow this Ammonite into the community because we say that things have changed. Now, Rabban Gamliel says something very, very important. Amar Gamliel, ho v'hachi hava, azil v'afaisei l'Rabbi Yeshua. So, since this is the case, turns out Rabbi Yeshua knows how to learn. I'm going to go now, and I'm going to ask Machil. I'm going to ask forgiveness from Rabbi Yeshua. The Sefer the Doros Rishonim has a very, very important point here about tshuva. We've all been in situations where we had a bit of a fight with somebody. And a very natural thing to hope to do is maybe we can just get past it. Rabbi Gamliel had this unfortunate episode with Rabbi Yeshua yesterday. They're no longer frozen out. They just had a beautiful back and forth in the Beis Medrash. It's clear that Rabbi Yeshua doesn't take things personally, or it seems like it's clear he doesn't take things personally, because we just had a very nice conversation. Rabbi Gamliel easily could have told himself, why do I have to go have that whole awkward conversation and bring up what happened all the way back on Chav Zayin Amid Beis when I embarrassed him? We're good. We just had a nice conversation. We're back. Things are normal. Things are where they're supposed to be. Why can't we just move forward? It would have been very, very easy for Rabbi Gamliel to do. Rabban Gamliel understands that what? There are no shortcuts in tshuva. And if you did something wrong, you can't just convince yourself that we're good. You need to actually go to the person and ask forgiveness.
The whole truth, nothing but
very, exactly. Very, 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 very important point. It would have been so easy not to do. But he goes to ask tshuva. Kimat lebeise. He goes to Rabbi Yeshua's house. Chazinhu leashisa debeise. He sees the walls of the house. Demeshachran. He sees the walls of Rabbi Yeshua's house are blackened. So now again, for the third time, we have this theme in the Gemara. Right, something is something which is white that looks black, something that's black that looks white. The house, the walls of Rabbi Yeshua are blackened. Amar le mikos lebeischa ata nikar, from the walls of your house, it's recognizable. She pachmi ata means Rabbi Yeshua is either a blacksmith or he's a charcoaler. You know, charcoal is when they to get the temperatures very hot, so they had to turn the wood into charcoal so they can get a nice stable heat. It's a technical thing to do. So maybe that's what Rabbi Yeshua is doing. That's what he does for a living. Rav Gamliel is very surprised, because what did Rav Gamliel assume that Rabbi Yeshua was all day long?
Study.
Zirah Sheshiva. Right? Hey, you're a blacksmith. You're a charcoaler. Pasnisht. What is this? You can't believe it. How long has Rav Gamliel known Rabbi Yeshua? Decades, right? And he had no idea from the way he saw him in the Beis Medrash what life was like back at home in the shop, right? He had no idea. He thought he knew him because he looked one way in one spot. He had no idea when he sees the blacksmith, he sees the shop, he sees the blacksmith or the smithery, I guess, the smithy, and he's totally surprised. The house is a different color than it looks like. And what does Rabbi Yeshua say? Oilo l'dor sha'ata parneso. Woe for the generation that you are its leader. She'i'ata yodea betzaran shal tamidei chachamim. You do not understand the pain of tamidei chachamim. Rabbi Gamliel, you think you know everything. You see and you think you can understand. Now, there's so much that's under the surface, right? What I go through at home, no one knows. You know, everyone has their issues they're dealing with. We all carry our stuff and no one knows. We don't really realize that everyone else carries their things as well. And people are really good at hiding it. And people don't notice. Such an important tshuva piece. B'mehim is parnas and b'mehim nizonim.
So this ties in with Rosh Hashanah, so you tell me?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, now, Rabban Gamliel, there's another tshuva piece. Gamliel does not take no for an answer. I mean, that's like pretty, he's just been pretty crushed. But you have to persist in your request for forgiveness. Amar lo, nanesi lach. Look, I came to you, okay? Macholi, like, forgive me. I had the awkward conversation. I came all the way out here to your house. Like, cut me some slack, okay? Please, can you forgive me?
He's giving him mussar.
He's begging. Macholi, forgive me. Please forgive me. Yeah, right? Lo ashkach bay, right? And Rabbi Yeshua ignored him. Now, at this point, it would have been easy for him to turn around and go home. Look, I went out there. I tried. I had the conversation. He said no. What's his problem?
Done deal.
Go home. But you have to be persistent in your efforts to obtain forgiveness. And what does he say? Aseh b'shvil kvod abba. Do it for the honor of the father. I'm a farshim debate. Is this a reference to Hillel HaZaken, who's Rabbi Gamliel's ancestor? Hillel, who's the one who is famously inclusive, right? In other words, Rabbi Gamliel kind of strayed from the tradition of Hillel. So now he says, look, you know, I may not have behaved this way, but can you forgive me because of my ancestor Hillel, who was inclusive? It also could be David HaMelech, who's the ancestor of both of them. David HaMelech, who really in many ways is the paradigm of a tshuva personality. Now what does Rabbi Gamliel do? Rabbi Yeshua do? Now Rabbi Yeshua forgives him. Okay? Rabbi Yeshua forgives him. And then what happens? Like two more important tshuva points and then we'll close. Amru man nezel v'leimeluhu l'rabbanan. So then they say, who's going to go to the chacham to tell them that Rabbi Yeshua has forgiven Rabban Gamliel? It's time for Rabban Gamliel to be reinserted. So who's going to go? Amru lehu hu koves. Some launderer. A launderer. Again, it fits in with the whole theme of the Gemara. What does a launderer do? Yeah, exactly. He cleans things, right? He makes things
better.
It can have black on the outside, but that can go away. Tshuva is possible. The way it looks like now, it doesn't always have to be. You can clean it up. You can make it look good. Anazlina, I'll go. Shalach lehu Rabbi Yeshua lebei midrasha. So Rabbi Yeshua with him sends a message. Manda lavish meda, yilvesh meda. The person who wore the garments should keep on wearing them. Manda lavish meda, yemer lelamanda lavish meda, shalach meda chvana albashay. The person who's never worn them shouldn't tell the person who has worn them, I'm going to wear them instead. So that's Rabbi Yeshua saying that we should put in the veteran instead. Okay. Amr lehu Rabbi Akiva the Rabbanan, Chukagali, delo lesu avdi de Rangamliel, velatsar rabbanan. Rabbi Akiva wants to lock the doors. He doesn't want to allow the students of Rabbi Gamliel to come in. In other words, Rabbi Akiva, understandably, does not forgive Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel insulted Rabbi Yeshua, who was Rabbi Akiva's Rabbi. Rabbi Akiva venerates his Rabbi. I'm not going to forgive. I can't. The covet of my Rabbi, I have to stand up for that. So what does Rabbi Yeshua do? Amar Rabbi Yeshua, mutav de'ekum ve'ezel ana legabayu. I'm going to go. Right. Another tshuva insight. When you forgive, has to be in full. It's not enough to just send a messenger. He's going to go himself. Rabbi Yeshua has better things to do, but he's going to go himself. Asa taraf abava, amule, maze ben maze yaze, the person who sprinkled the paraduma, the descendant of that one should sprinkle. Again, that motif of purity. Vashena lo maze lo ben maze, yomer lo maze ben maze, meimach meimara, and the person who has never done this, so he shouldn't dismiss the ashes in the water of the other person. Okay. Now, what does Rabbi Akiva say? Amalei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yeshua nispiced. You forgave him? Klumasinu ela b'shvil kvodcha. We only did this because of your kavod. Another important point. Don't take it personally, right? Rabbi Akiva could have taken Rabbi Yeshua's issue personally. Don't do that. If Rabbi Yeshua is forgiven, I'm going to forgive as well. L'machar ani va'ata nashkim l'pischo. Tomorrow, you and me are going to go to the entrance of the Beis Medrash. Amri hechi navid. So now they have to figure out what to do. Navre, should they fire Reb Lozman ben Azariah? Gemiri malam l'kodesh for emo reason. We can only go up. We can't go down. So we're not going to fire him. Nidrosh mar chad shabta umar chad shabta. They're going to switch off every other Shabbos. Asi l'kanuye. Then there's going to be jealousy. El Lidrosh Rabban Gamliel Tlasa Shabsi. 3 weeks, Rabban Gamliel, the senior scholar, will give the drasha. The husband of Zari, who's a junior scholar, Chada Shabbasa, he'll give it on the fourth Shabbos. Hainud Amar Mar, Shabbos Shalmi Haisa, Shrabi Elizabeth Azariah Haisa. So that's where we have the phrase, whose Shabbos was it, Elizabeth Azariah Shabbos, because they worked out this complicated rotation. Then the Gemara tells us one last thing, and I think with this we can close the story. Very, very interesting over here. Vosil Talmud, who was the student? There was one student at the very beginning of the story who created the whole problem in the first place. Because one student got up and asked, is Mariv optional or is Mariv mandatory? You know, some kid who was in there, and like the little pebble that kicked off the avalanche. So the Gemara wants to know, who was it?
Some wise guy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And who was it? It was Rabbi Shimon. Who was Rabbi Shimon?
Shimon Bar Yochai.
Yeah, Shimon Bar Yochai. Shimon Bar Yochai. Now, I think it's not a coincidence that the Gemara invokes Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai over here. Because this whole Gemara is about complexity. Things are not always as they seem. We need to hesitate when judging others. We need to hesitate when judging ourselves. Right? Life is more complicated than just black, white, tocho, kibaro. In fact, even the halacha that's being debated here, Rabbi Gamliel looks at it, halacha has two things. Either chova, either you have to do it, or you don't. It doesn't mean there's an optional prayer, right?
There's some things that you don't have to do, but you can choose to.
Exactly, right? Rabbi Yeshua was telling, that's the whole debate that kicked this off. Rabbi Gamliel was literally black and white, the motif of the Gemara, and Rabbi Yeshua is saying, everything in life is complicated. This halacha is complicated. You can have a mariv, which, you know, is recommended, not required, and a whole lot of halacha about what happens afterwards, how this gets to halacha, l'maisa, b'zman hazeh, but it's rishus. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, right? The Tana who goes into the cave for 13 years. And when he comes out of the cave and he sees people doing regular things, and what does he start shooting out of his eyeballs?
He couldn't handle it.
Fire, right? Because Rosh Hashanah, he's the next generation. You know, the Skokie Yeshiva boys, we're learning about Eliyahu Hanavi. And we'll see all the parallels. Exactly, right? Tells him, go back in the cave. Because that pure black, white, it's either one extreme or the other. The world where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is going to find himself, the world where Rabbi Gamliel is, that's not the world where we should be. That's not the world of tshuva. Right. So just to sum up, I think the key points that come out of this whole Gemara is the danger of judging, the complexity of appearances, white vessels, stores that are black or white, the person who's old but he's actually young. Number one, don't judge. Number two, don't disqualify ourselves, right? Having faith in our own potential and having faith in the potential of those around us. And then point number three is when it comes to things having been done wrong, We ask machila, we ask forgiveness, we don't assume it's been given, we don't think of ourselves as too good to ask. If Rabban Gamliel can do it, so should we. Correspondingly, we forgive. Right? Rabbi Yeshua, despite what happened to him, he forgives, and once he forgives fully. Rabbi Akiva, he forgives, once he forgives fully. There's no halfway, there's no bearing the grudge. You know, the tshuva can be complicated, people can be complicated, but the forgiveness that we give should be very simple. Right, the forgiveness should be forgiveness in full. That piece should be black and white. So, yeshkach, everybody, and wish everyone a great rest of the day.